All right, so I'm very happy to be here and kind of switching the gear, you know, from the M theory to a different corner of the landscape. Talk about F theory guts and the implication for LHC and this work with the recent work with Heckman and Wafa, and also the earlier ones with the with Gordy King as well. But I will mainly talk about the recent ones. All right. So we have nice event already collected at LHC at 7TV, and so the more phenomenological approach to the string phenomenology at the LHC age is to, I mean, in my opinion, is that to combine a new physics scenario with the ingredients from string quantification, and including the phenomenological constraints. And if that is if that marriage is already pretty stringent, then it already tells you, give you some prediction at LHC, and then we can look at the LHC and see whether we can find something that you know, favor or disfavor this scenario, this marriage, and then we can check whether this we can worry about the more whether we can get this. Thing fully into, I mean, string theory, and so basically I would kind of defer the all the building a globally consistent model for later. So so this work is actually involve a lot of people, and so I only give a short list of the people, and the plan of my talk would be so what are the summarize what are the ingredients for F theory guts, and I will talk about how to actually connect the F theory gut to LHC by looking at the supersymmetry breaking. And then mainly in my talk is I will focus on the LHC signals and such a strategy, which you know haven't been talked about in this meeting. All right, so. So basically, we are looking at the local models where you can sort of decouple gravity and kind of mostly focusing on the UV motivated gate theory. It turns out that requiring a gut structure and the decoupling limit, it's already put a very stringent restriction on the model. And from the Joel's talk and also James talk, we already learned a lot about F theory, and so these are the basic ingredient that the ingredient for the model building. So we know that the gauge fields are stuck in the ADE singularity, which is eight dimension fields, and the meta fields are the curves in this in the bulk of this gauge of the gauge field. I mean eight dimensional. The manifold, and we also have Yukawa arriving from the intersection of this meta curve. So if you want to get Yukawa coupling, I mean of SU5, and also you want hierarchical CKM matrix, and you also if you also want a Newton from the value of some gut singlet, also. Some U1 PQ symmetry, as we learned from the Joe Masano's talk, that these are very important for and forbidden, like the proton decay, and also so if you also need the right hand neutrino, then this will lead you to E8 enhanced symmetry. And this symmetry can be broken by the geometry, you know, the unfolding of the singularity, and then that I mean can be classified depending on the Majorana neutrino scenario or the Dirac neutrino scenario. And for the Majorana neutrino scenario, it's actually give you pretty minimal structure. So basically, you get some meta field in 10 plus 10 bar. Also, you have some. Already have one U1 survive, which is the, which should provide the candidate for PQ, U1 PQ, and the charge is fixed. and it's very nice, and we will focusing on this case in the following talk, in the rest of the talk. And there is also the Dirac scenario, which is actually a little bit more complicated. You have two U1s, so the U1 PQ is a combination of these two U1, and so the charge is not completely fixed. So I want to actually talk about this. So more info on the Majorana neutrino scenario as a case study. So this is a picture of this minimal E8 model where all these meta curves are intercepted at one point where the E8 enhancement is at that point. And you also see these are the singlets of this EQ5. You also have some extra like the 10 plus 10 bar, which, so the question is, what can these be for a concrete model for supersymmetric breaking? So it turns out that we know that we need the break supersymmetry, even though we haven't talked about the supersymmetry, we know that there will be n equal 1 supersymmetry in the low engine. We need to break it. And these extra gut multiplet and the singlet provide the ingredient for gauge mediation. So that actually we can model, we can implement the gauge mediation in this scenario, and that's basically the view of the gauge mediation. And so one issue in gauge mediation is the mu b mu problem, as we know that electroweak symmetric breaking requires you to have mu b mu around the electroweak scale. And in this scenario, we found that the PQ charge, automatically forbid the superpotential Milton, but there's a Deaton contribution to the Milton actually coming from integrating out the KK modes of the X field. Remember, the X field is the six-dimension field. When you compactify it on a curve, you actually there will be a KK state actually contribute to this operator. So this the scale for this KK scale is naturally expect to be around the Planck scale, around the gut scale, and that actually gave you a contribution to the Milton, which is if you require that to be 100 Jev, then that actually fixed the Susie breaking scale to be roughly 10 to the 7 GeV square. That also gave you additional. So similarly, also you can get the contribution to the BMU term, which similarly from integrating out the KK modes. So that operator can also give you a BMU term, and we can see that it's basically proportional to M over MX and times mu. And if there's a hierarchy between the M and MX, then this actually you can get a pretty small for BMU. This M is the valve of the X singlet, so basically the messenger scale. So this M is the messenger scale.
X, I can get an F term, and yeah. The remaining X gets a V, and that's
M. Right. So MX is the gut scale. All right. So there's a. So usually we know that in a string theory, the U1 gauge bond typically get mass through Stackelberger mechanism, and so they obtain a big mass which is expected to be around the gut scale, and below that scale you would have a global U1, and that is broken actually by the charge and by the valve of X, which carry the U1 PQ charge, and that global U1 provide the solution for the strong CP problem, and actually it set the messenger scale actually set the X and decay constant. So the experimental window for the X and decay constant is given by this. And the one interesting thing is that if you focusing on the soft mass, which is around the TV scale, that actually implies that the F over M is a 10 to the 5 Jev, which indicate that combined the result we obtained before, that F is 10 to the 7 GV square, that gave you the messenger scale 10 to the 12 GF. So it seems that requiring the axiom and the mu b mu problem and the gauge mediation seems all consistent with the very rigid parameter. So basically setting the messenger scale and also supersymmetry breaking scale. Alright, so in fact, so one would ask whether this can be realized in the F3 the construction from top down. Actually, this was done by Joe Marzano and etc. and Heckman Wafa. So they look at some instanton contribution to potential for these singlets, and that actually provide a kind of Fayette Polanyi potential, which you can if you can tune if with some mild tuning of flux, you can get this hierarchy between this the mass this 10 to 12 JeV compared to the gut scale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I see.
You can try to say maybe some instant bundle generated, but I mm-hmm. would say the instant bundle you described will
I agree that there might be issues, yeah, there could be potential issues, consistent issues, but.
So my cleaning of the flux, so there is a dot scale 10 to the 16 and then you need 10 to the 12. So what flux are you cleaning?
I'm actually not expert of this part. I think, yeah.
I'm actually not sure what you're talking about. This N is actually the web of X.
I see. Yeah, I think I.
This kind of very sort of local business, right? Everything is just a function. You have some parameters you introduce, you can dial, if you have one group, you can conduct
everything. Well, I think as long as you stay on the same way, I think you have those reasons.
Yeah,
they're talking smaller on the same way, but not really so optional. You have a lot of brands in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so what I think is that maybe there you can construct such thing, you can decouple other things, maybe some particular construction. I'm not sure how generic it is. Maybe, I mean, this at least from our point of view, I mean, bottom-up point of view is consistent. And I mean, in string theory, you can look for a particular construction which satisfy these conditions. Maybe so, yeah. So I'm not saying that how very generic or not, but this kind of bottom-up kind of motivate with the kind of F3 ingredients. So. Yes, I agree, yeah. All right. So there are, okay. So since we have this U1PQ symmetry, which is the gauge symmetry is broken, and the PQ gauge boson is get the large mass, and they can contribute to additional contribution to the subscalar mass by this diagram. And that actually contributes the shift of the minimal gauge mediation scalar mass. And you can parameterize like in terms of the charge of this meta fields, and delta PQ, this parameter delta PQ, which defined like this. It's easy to see that this parameter is naturally 100 Jeff. And then the one and also from the cosmological constraint that the delta PQ has to be around 50 Jeff. The reason is that you have this axion which could decay at later time, which you know overproduced the axion. So that's you need to put a bond on this that's axion mass, which is basically determining proportional to delta PQ. And one other interesting thing is that the charge of the of these meta fields for squawking and slepton, they are negative. And this means that the shift is actually lower the scalar mass instead of increasing it. So now to connect the low energy physics, so we need to set the boundary condition, which is basically gauge mediation plus PQ deformation and messenger scale, and then we evolve the subparameter to low energy TV scale. And what are the effective parameters for phenomenal study is the lambda, which is basically F over M. So even though we know roughly what they are, but there's still some room which you can actually vary. And that actually set all the mass scale for the subpartners. So there's basically there's a bound from the Higgs mass, and also there's if it is lambda is too big, we can get, I mean, then the soft masses are too heavy, then we are not likely to see them. And so we actually vary in the middle. And also for delta PQ, there's a cosmological bond, and also there's the tachyon if it's become too big, because the all these scalar become negative with too big delta PQ. And also another thing is that things B mu is very small at the messenger scale, that actually fixed the 10 beta at low scale. All right, now let's look a little bit more detail of the soft mass. Basically, you can see the Gugino don't have the PQ shift, and the scalar have the shift, and also proportional to, I mean, the minimal, this is a minimal gauge mediation contribution, which is proportional square root of n. So actually with a larger messenger, you actually have relatively lighter scalar. And in addition, things this PQ shift is actually shift of the mass square. And that means for the squawk, typically they are heavier. The shift is smaller, but for slepton, things they are lighter. Then the shift, if the factors become more important, and particularly for the lightest star, which is typically the lightest slepton. And the LSP in this case is the Graf-Dino, which is basically 10 to the 100 MeV. And LSP decay to Graf-Dino, which is suppressed by 1 over F square. Things that F is the Susie breaking scale is high. This means the NSP is quite stable. Lifetime is 1 second to 1 hour. And now let's look at the PQ shift to the masses. So you can see that for slepton, basically that's what I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm. Because why is it stable? Because the mass difference is very small.
Oh, you mean NSP?
Yeah, why is it quite long there?
NLSP long live?
Yeah.
Just because this width is small, because they're suppressed by this scale, so the breaking scale is pretty high compared to the low scale gauge mediation. This is basically a high scale gauge mediation, kind of.
The
Graf-Dino mass is other less than,
a little less than G, 100
MeV, yeah. All right, so this is basically the change the shift of scalar mass as the change of delta pq. So you can see with very small delta pq, you actually get Beano NLSP, this region. And as you go higher, you get the star NLSP. For the n10 equal 2 case, and previous one n10 equal 1, this case, since all the scalar become lighter, as we mentioned before, then the star is always the NLSP. So you can see that we have a pretty big region of star NLSP region. So this is the messenger scale. So we're actually focusing on the 10 to 12, so basically here. And we also have another plot of the, so this is star NLSP region, and this is the Beano NLSP region. So actually, for large delta pq, we always get star NLSP, and that's what the folks of the Collider study that, and the rest of the talk. So this is the whole spectrum, and you can see that these are gauginos and leptons and squawks. So they are squawks are typically guino are typically at one TV and higher, and so the red one is for the zero pq deformation, and the blue one is the largest pq deformation. Yeah, so we impose a constraint on the lambda so that the Higgs is above the bound.
How much above the bound can you make it?
How much? So you can.
Is there an upper bound?
You mean upper bound for Higgs? You can basically increase this guy, you know, and then you raise the Higgs. But then it would not be natural in a sense. So, sure.
Okay, so the place of the Higgs is becoming too large?
Not.
Too
large is actually here, below this 50.
Oh.
So we actually include that, this region. So actually, this region is killed below that 50, Jeff, roughly. So that's why we're only looking at the model that we pick is around the boundary, like 50 TV. Yeah.
How much? So if you don't take 114, if you take 114 with an error bar, so like 112 or something.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's some like statistical error in the.
Yeah, there are some. Yeah.
So how much lower can you make the 50, the lambda? Can you make it significantly lower? Or like.
No, not significantly lower. I think it would just. Maybe 40 instead. So there's some uncertainty, background uncertainty there. So I won't worry about that. And also, this pq also affect the decay of chargino and the neutralinos, since they are possibly and they will have different more channels open as you lower this lepton mass. So you can see this is the light. I mean, second lightest neutralino decay. Which can, I mean, when pq deformation is small, they mostly decay to lattice tau and tau, and also this channel. But as other leptons become light, there are more channels open, and you would see actually you will see different signals. Oh, excuse me. Which what?
One that's overtaking the orange neutrino.
These are neutrino.
Oh.
Yes, neutrino. Tau's neutrino and the lepton's, I mean, E and mu's neutrino. Yeah. Yeah, so sorry about that. Too small. Yeah. So this is basically some big summary comparison with other, you know, low-scale gauge mediation and the M-Suga model. And you can see they have very different signatures. I mean, in this case, as I would tell you, because it's a long-lived star, that would look like a heavy muon and collider. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, that's possible. But you know, that would, yeah. But this, I mean, we will soon see whether this is work or not at LHC. Okay. Yes, that's true. Yeah, I should have said that. Yeah, I should have said that. This is a big, yeah, based on the some assumption I already pick. So now folks want to spend most of talk and rest of talk on LHC, what we can see at LHC. And the main question is how star can be produced and detected in LHC, and what are the signals, and how they depend on the PQ deformation, and what are the property, I mean, what are the prospect for discovery. And then maybe if I have time, maybe talk about how to identify FDCrat. So this is just a quick summary of the past search for long-lived star at the collider. And basically the bound is like 100 GeV for the star. So these are New Zealand CDF recently, they did some study with, and the bound is really for FDCrat is 100 GeV. But so it's actually kind of model dependent. So if you have if I have a model with lighter superpartner, then this bound would be actually more stringent. But for FDCrat, it's 100 GeV. So just a quick reminder of the production of mostly would be involved the Guino and Squawk, and then they cascade a K to star NSP. And we're typically expecting two star plus something else, jets or leptons. So the big difference is that there's no large missing energy in these events. So these are the cross section that you at HC for as a function of the center mass energy. So we are now at the 7 TeV, so that's basically pretty small, like a 0.07 picobond. So we're not actually expecting collecting too many events in the before it's upgrading. But for 14 TeV, actually we can get to 1 picobond. So and that will be very promising. And okay, let's talk a little bit about how these events are triggered on. So this so basically we can the muon trigger. So most of these stars will be triggered as in a muon trigger because they are the charged heavy particle. And if the velocity is large enough, they will mostly will pass the trigger, the muon trigger. So this is the efficiency versus the beta, the velocity. So for beta greater than like 0.6, 0.7, they would pass with very high efficiency. And we can also using the jet plus missing ET trigger. So that actually independent of the velocity of the star. So we can actually have information about a low velocity star. And that actually important for measuring the decay of the star or other things. So how we isolate the star from the muon? So basically we can see first is that they have very different PT distributions. So we can impose some very large PD cut. Also, the velocity distribution are very different. And for muon, actually very close to one. And for the star, it has very big tail where the velocity is very small.
So why is the muon close to one? And if it comes from a W, then some energy goes.
Because the mass is very small, so.
If the muon comes from a W decay.
Yeah, it doesn't
so
matter.
It be a delta function.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Just because it's almost a kind of massless particle. So we did some simulation for the production of these SUSY events. So we impose this, you consider star candidate in this range, velocity range. And we consider they passed with the muon trigger with the 100% efficiency. And we did some detector resolution. So they will measure, yeah, in the using time of flight measurement for beta.
So they make it to the neuron chamber very late, right?
That's only for very low velocity style. Actually, it turns out most of the style actually pretty high velocity because they are actually from this Guino decay, so they become very energetic. So most of them actually very energetic.
But that
so they are fast.
Depends on the mass difference between the Chi2 and the
It depends on the Guino. I think the Guino mass, I think because most events are coming from Guino squad production. So they are kind of a TeV scale. So they decay, they produce a lot of energy. So the star will be very energetic. So,
roughly what percent will last? I'll
have that later on. So basically that's showing only the cross section, but roughly like a 6%. This is for one star. Events with greater than one star candidate, that's actually, I think, maybe 60%, something like past the cut.
So what was the cut?
Oh, that's actually defined here. So the star candidate with this velocity window.
So this time of flight?
So we pretend the velocity is measured. And we just include the resolution, detector resolution.
Can they measure the velocity?
So that's actually from the experiments. So this is actually from the Atlas TDR. So that's the estimation they have. So we just follow the numbers. So there's additional cuts which is basically trying to reduce the stem model background. And eventually, with this cut, the background can be reduced like a less than one event for like a 10 inverse Van de Waal. So this gave you a discovery potential of this standard SP scenario. This X is the lambda, and this is the delta PQ. The background is things I told you with the cut is very small, and so we can take to be one, and discovery corresponding to cross section times luminosity greater than 5. With that criterion, we can see that this is actually the cross section, and that corresponding to 10 inverse Van de Waal luminosity for this in order to discovery the models with the lambda 50 TeV. So this is very would be done very early. Of course, this is a 14 TeV, so, yes? You mean in between of the branch crossing?
Yeah.
Then they wouldn't be triggered, identify as a muon. So, but they will still have the information was still in a detector, and if the event is somehow triggered on, then you can access the data, the information of style by offline analysis, but they won't be recognized as a muon by the trigger system immediately. So that's a very tricky thing. So it's very much depend on how these experimental group are doing analysis. So that's why I'm focusing on the large beta region. So this is 10 inverse Van de Waal. This is this line is for 100 inverse Van de Waal, and this is roughly 1 inverse Van de Waal. And for center mass energy with 7 TeV, you probably need another magnitude more for luminosity, roughly. So you can see this will be becoming 100 inverse Van de Waal. This will be 1 inverse Van de Waal. So this is for an 10 equal 2 case. It's very similar. And there's other signals. So far we are just looking at events with the greater than one style plus anything else, I don't care. But now if we can also look at the signals with the style plus some leptons. And these guys, as I tell you that things, the K-branch ratio changes as you change the PQ. So you are expecting to see a lot of the lepton in the events as you have, if you have a large PQ deformation. So that's actually the dependence of the signal. This is 2 star plus greater than 1 lepton, 2 star plus 2 leptons. And you can see that's increased a lot as you have go to large delta PQ. So you can also, I mean, also you can, without isolate the muon, you can also look at the, just look at the dileptons signatures and trileptons signatures. They also can give you very good signal. So I won't talk too much about these things. So finally, that so if we see this the star, if we see long-lived stars, then the next question is whether whether it's the just the minimal gauge mediation model or or with some PQ deformation. So two major way is to one way is looking for the superponder mass, because they are, you are expecting the PQ deformation will give you different mass spectrum. So that's the one way. So if the masses are, can be measured at LHC, then that will directly give you some idea whether it's F3 gut or the just the minimal gauge mediation model. Or you can look at the 3D breaking scale. If these can be measured, then also it gives you some favor or disfavor this F3 gut scenario. But it turns out that's very challenging, but I probably won't talk too much. So mainly I would talk a little bit about the mass measurement in this case. So things we can measure the star momentum, and we can use the invariant mass to reconstruct the mass. And this actually, also the star mass can be measured by the velocity measurement and the momentum measurement. So that actually gave you very good resolution for the star mass. So this is just some example with 500 events in this window. And if you can look at these low velocity star, then you can actually get better resolution for the star mass. And the other masses can be similarly constructed if you look at the invariant mass of this combination or more. And these are results which obtained from some of the previous study, and they give you a roughly what the idea of the resolution of the mass is. So it's actually pretty good with, this is with 30 inverse Fenton bar. Okay. So finally, I want to see, say if the comparison with the minimal gauge mediation, the to tell it from minimal gauge may not be so easy. The point is that in minimal gauge mediation, you can actually vary your messenger scale and Suzy breaking scale 10 beta. So these are not so limited as the F3 gut scenario. So you actually can make a minimal gauge mediation model, which is look very close to one of the benchmark of F3 gut model. And the difference, difference is like a few GeV. So the point is that the distinguishing model is probably very challenging. With we need probably need like 100 inverse Fenton bar to distinguish them, but maybe in some case you will be better. But it's kind of depend on the mode where you are located in the primary space. Okay, so probably I'll skip all these things. These are some Beano case, Beano SP region, but I probably won't have time to talk about them. So let me just conclude that F3 gut is the local model is pretty rigid for Suzy gut model building, just enough to fit very suspect the phenomenology ingredient. And embedding the gauge mediation, this framework seems very predictive, and it can be tested at LHC within a few years. So we will probably see, the result very soon, and it's interesting to see if we really see the star on SP, then it will become very interesting to whether these local construction can be globally consistent. And then, so that's my point about this this work. All right, thanks. style? Okay, so actually I have some slides here, but since I don't have time, basically it's possible that they can be stuck in the collider if they are have low velocity. And the question is how to trigger on these events. So so one thing is that one way to trigger these events is actually implement a different trigger system during the when the collider is not running. So then this is actually in this paper, discussed in this paper. So with a modified trigger system, then you are able to trigger on these events. The problem is the normal trigger system, they won't actually aim to trigger on these events because they are too late. No.
CMS has to trigger events which occur
If it's stopped outside, then it can decay back into the detector. And the problem is whether you can get rid of the background from the cosmic ray. There might be there's some way that I don't have time to talk here. Depending on lifetime, the lifetime we have for this model is actually kind of too short. For if you want to, then the water tank may not work because you need to move it to other place, then all these stars will already decay. So seems this is a more promising than using the modified trick system.
So this is a few minutes to a few hours, right?
Yeah, right.
You just collect it in your water tank.
Yeah.
And you think by the time you actually do your analysis?
Yeah, when you move to a clean place, like without the background things, then these guys already seem to decay.
You've seen those events will be recorded somewhere, right? If they decay. So you're saying you can really concentrate
back there. Yeah, other backgrounds. So these are just to give you how many events that would be stopped roughly. There's a range of from the interaction point. With 20 meters, you will see roughly a few thousand events will stop. This is for different models. So it's for 100 input event bar. So really need a large luminosity. Yes? Give me? This curve? Can talk after one. Yeah. So I.
What is this third Dadani Whitehall paper last year, sort of addressing the issue of which global models can be included in the global models?
Mm-hmm.
Has the attitude towards local model building sort of changed after this paper, or
mm-hmm.
people started approaching it in a different way, or looking into how this might be worded?
Which paper? Sorry. Nice.
Third Dadani Whitehall paper sort of addressed which local models could be embedded.
Mm. I didn't notice that paper, so maybe I should look at that one. Thanks.
One more question. Do you guys have any? So this point of V8 enhancement is a very special point.
Yes.
Do you guys have any? Are you just saying you assume you can
do it? Yeah.